golden letters spin on screen. Light glints off a G as they form a logo, SGM, Smith Global Media. Bright white letters appear on a black background, Respect Films. At night, a woman in a red floral print dress stands beside a tree. She slips a pill into her mouth and glances up at the sky, forcing herself to swallow. Her eyes shift to the dark trees in the distance. She gags, her head lurching forward as she starts to foam at the mouth. She drops to her knees, reaching for a dark figure. Her eyes go wide as she collapses onto her back. Convulsions course through her frame. She struggles to grasp for air as her head lolls to the side. A quote appears, "Time doesn't heal our wounds. It numbs them." Outside time, those wounds still bleed, and all our demons wait for us. A neon title appears over a home hidden by trees, House of Demons. At a bar.
Hey, everybody! Hey, I want to make a toast. Get your glasses up. I want to make a toast to my friend Jeff, because he's a lucky guy. And I'm happy for him. Not everybody gets a chance at happiness. You think you're going to be happy and shit happens. You know how it is, we've all been there. And tonight, I'd like to remember the people that can't be with us, to absent friends and happy futures. To Jeff and Abby, huh? Cheers. Congrats, man. I'm really happy for you. I'm happy for you, okay? Seriously. I'm a little jealous, but I'm really happy. And let me buy you guys some drinks now.
No, we're good.
Oh, wait, no. Shit, no, wait, no, you don't think I can afford it?
No, it's not bad at all.
I can just check and afford it. I got it. No, it's fine.
It's fine.
Barkeep, get this guy, Dr. Jeff, whatever he wants. You put it on my tab, okay? Okay?
Hey,
and if you want a little, you know where to get it. I got you.
Yeah, we're good.
Glenn, hi. It's been so long.
I'm just trying to get another drink here.
Oh, have you talked to Abby yet? She's so sweet.
I'm sure she is, but I haven't had the privilege.
Oh, I saw your mom when I was in town.
Lucky you.
She's still so beautiful. And such a sweetheart. She told me you're writing a novel.
Oh, God, she won't shut up about that.
It's so perfect for you. I remember how much you used to talk about how you wanted to do writing, and you were so good, and everything that you wrote in class was, like, way above everybody's head.
What are you drinking?
Club soda.
I think you're confused. That won't get you drunk, and there's no way we're getting through this weekend sober.
I'm having a great time. It's nice to see everybody.
Well, have a drink with me. For old time's sake.
I'm driving.
Driving. God.
Gwen, I want to talk to you.
We're talking now. What's up?
I mean, like, actually talk. Go out and get dinner like we used to.
Gwen shifts uncomfortably, glancing at her blonde-haired friend.
I prefer to live in the now.
Jeff and his bearded friend chatted up.
Last week of senior year, if I remember correctly, you and Katrina hooked up in the reptile room. Can I confirm it?
I will not ever say that happened. I remember Dave, he threw a beer into the monkey cage, dude. Oh,
it was like... Dave. I mean, we invited him. You know, we did. It was just a little...
I know, man.
Yeah. Hey, man, is it a little awkward with Katrina?
No, just write that in hieroglyphics, because yeah. It's ancient history. You know what I'm saying?
The guys clink their glasses, glancing at Katrina as they sip. Gwen wanders over to a table where a blank notebook lies open. She picks up a pen, about to write.
Gwen, oh,
hi.
I'm so glad you're here.
I didn't think I'd make the cut.
Oh, you need to meet Abby. Abby, this is Gwen, an old friend of mine.
Yeah, a long time friend.
Nice to meet you. Jeff told me a lot about you.
Ah, I'll try to live up to the hype.
So good to see you. I miss you. I hope you know that.
Yeah, I miss you too. You know, I
Oh, hey, I wouldn't want to interrupt the writer at work. You know, Gwen is working on a novel now.
Well, then, I look forward to reading your message.
Well, I look forward to knowing what to write. So that makes two of us.
Oh, just kidding.
So nice to meet you.
You too. Congratulations.
Hey.
Hey.
Look at them. Perfect couple.
Give it a year and a half. 2 years, max.
Your family got in okay?
Yeah, everyone was good, so looking forward to tomorrow.
Me too.
Did you get a chance to catch up with the old crew?
Not really my old crew.
Oh, come on, are you kidding? You never really had a crew. This is as close as it gets.
Well, I did get ambushed by some old woman.
Oh, cougar?
No, she was like 70. That would be gross.
Well, beggars can't be choosers, right?
Sorry for sticking you guys way out there at Abby's uncle's place, but I figured they could use a chance to save on a hotel. Like Matthew. I love the dude. But has he ever had a real job?
On the phone.
Yeah, man, I got you. I'm out of town till Monday, but I don't know when I get back. Yeah. I got you an eighth, half ounce, whatever you want, man. All right, cool. Oh, hey.
Hey. I think I'm going to bring the car around. Do you want to let everybody know that we're ready to go?
Yeah.
Katrina strolls off as Matthew takes a drag on his cigarette. Later, Katrina drives with Gwen in the passenger seat. Matthew sits in back with the guy in glasses at the bar. A video flicks on screen. March 4th, 2010.
There we go.
Wait, are we recording again?
We're recording.
I have so much fucking fun!
Oh my god, did you see Aaron? He looks like fucking 50 now.
Shut up, Dave. He was still awesome.
Yeah, they're still awesome, Dave. Thank you very much.
He was toast.
Katrina and Matthew make out in the backseat.
Hey,
she's never down for it, though. I tried.
Why do I always get stuck in the back with these guys?
Because we're hoping magic's gonna happen.
I need you here.
Get it?
On me. But you could not handle an eighth.
Not a compliment.
We're in love.
Yeah, we love each other.
The camera tumbles to the floor as the screen goes black.
Is everybody okay? Dave?
Don't touch him. Just stay back.
The screen slowly fades to white as Dan comes into focus. He wears a beanie and a far-off look, his eyes blankly staring at the ground. His complexion brightens to pure white before the whole screen fades out. Now, a pair of headlights slowly drive uphill. Katrina parks her car outside a small house partially hidden by the forest. She climbs out, nervously gripping her arm. Gwen silently strides past her as the guys head for the house. Katrina peers around at the eerie woods. A strange demon-like statue sits at the edge of the forest. Katrina stares out into the night, a wave of concern washing over her. She glances back at her friends as they head for the door and quickly scurries after them. Text, 1969. During the day, the same greenhouse sits amongst the trees. Inside, a group of people surround a woman as she gives birth.
Hey, this child was meant to come into this world and join this family. We're all waiting for it, eh? You just have to show it the way.
I can't! It hurts too much! Hey.
You're creating life, Anne. That's what gods do. And gods don't feel pain, not push. That's it. Push, that's it. Push, a little farther. That's it. One more. That's it. Oh my God.
A guy in a tan vest smiles as he cradles the newborn. Women come to Anne's side, showering her with affection. A woman with long straight hair pulls away, letting her distant gaze fall. In the present, Gwen leads the group into the house.
Wow, this is cool.
Who's up for a nightcap?
And then we have to get up at like 9 a.m.
Yeah,
so.
My stomach's like not great. What, are you pregnant or something?
Katrina's eyes flicked to Matthew before dropping to the floor.
Come on, guys. We haven't seen each other in forever. We'll do a toast.
I guess a toast would be fine.
Look, it's a 68 Merlot. When are we ever going to drink that again?
Not sure we should be drinking their wine.
Abby's uncle did say mi casa es su casa.
So it's fine.
Thank you.
Guys, we've known each other forever, and I can't remember not being friends with you guys. So, you know, here's us.
It's us.
Katrina brings the glass to her lips, taking a small sip.
Tunes.
I'm actually gonna turn in.
yeah, all right.
I'm kind of tired. Have a nice night, though.
Good night.
Night.
Okay. Want some more?
No, early morning. So.
Yeah, we all have to get up at the same time.
Matthew starts up a record player.
Yeah. Night. God.
All right.
Wow.
Well, then, let's drink.
Gwen plops back on the couch, bottle in hand. The guy in glasses unpacks pills.
Hey, Spencer. Sweet room.
Yeah, they know me really well.
Jeff told me that you finished your residency. That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thanks.
I've spent a lot of time searching for my purpose. It's nice that you found yours.
I don't know. My grandfather was a doctor. Both my parents are doctors.
Have you ever wanted to be anything else?
Never really thought about it.
Spencer is such a weenbag, dude.
Oh my God, you're awful.
Oh, no more for me. I don't.
My stomach hurts. Oh my God.
It is such a bore, man.
They Whatever. Are, though. That fucking. She sucks. She sucks. Sucks. I mean. She's just. What happened?
You guys don't talk anymore?
No. Last time I saw her was like 2 years ago. We had dinner. And she wouldn't shut up about her new age witchy stuff. I don't think I fit in with her new outlook.
I haven't talked to her in a long time.
What happened with you guys? For like years, you were inseparable. Like, literally, it was embarrassing, and then, poof, it was over. Let me rephrase. How did you screw it up?
Matthew tilts back his head, averting her gaze.
I'm sorry. I just figured that...
It's fine.
I loved you guys together. That and after Dave, it was too much.
He bows his head, pressing his fingers against his forehead.
Well, we gotta get up early, so I still have to get my 3 pages in. But
oh yeah, your book. I saw your mom's post about it.
Oh, not you too.
She clinks his glass and wanders off. In Spencer's room.
I have something I want to tell you, and it might sound weird, but try to be open about it.
Okay.
I've been seeing an energy healer, trying to focus myself on a more clear, positive path.
Cool.
And part of my practice is opening up to energies from outside myself. I've been in touch. With David.
I don't really think we should be talking about this.
I can sense you're feeling all this guilt about the accident and what happened, but it's not your fault. He knows that. You don't have to worry.
Great. Thanks for the update.
I'm serious. I want to help you let go.
I'm fine. Really. It's fine.
You don't believe me.
Go to his mom's house. hang out with him for a little bit.
Against a blank white wall, Dave sits in a wheelchair, staring absently at the floor. Spencer crouches beside him.
He's brain dead, Katrina. The guy that we know is gone completely, 100%. He's a shell.
I don't think you can say it.
It sucks, but what you're talking about is impossible.
You have to look beyond what you can.
Who here has a medical degree?
Katrina presses her lips together.
It's late. I should go to bed.
Good night.
It's gotta be hard doing what you do. Everybody's really proud of you.
As she leaves, Spencer sits back in his chair, glancing around the room. From the outside, all is quiet around the house. In her room, Gwen works at her laptop. The blue light of the screen illuminates her as she types.
The moment he arrived, he knew there was something about this place. Things are possible here. The past, present, and future exist together, and we can change them. He told her, here. It has to be here. Can't you feel it?
In the past.
Here. It has to be here. This spot. Come on, Derek, I need you. Are you sure about this?
Hey, you trust me?
Well, yeah, I just feel like...
Hey, look at me. Do you trust me?
Yeah. You have a pain in your heart, Derek. Do you remember the moment everything went wrong for you? Yeah, you do. Pour out that pain, man. Take us there. Let us make it right.
Derek grips his fist around a short blade, slowly dragging it upward. Multicolored lights flash across the leader's face. He tilts his head with a smile, a glimpse of his childhood flashing by.
Okay. Go back to the house and have Don look at this.
Maya! Did you feel it?
You're a sadistic child.
When the blood was drawn, did you feel it? Everything trembled. I saw Bobby. I can save him. I can save him.
Everybody was talking about you, Fraser. They're scared of you.
No. They trust me. No one cared about me from before, but they believe in me. They'll do anything I say.
When we started this, I thought you cared about them, but they're just lab rats to you. You know what? You need to look deep inside and realize what you're doing.
This is gonna work. This is gonna work. I saw Bobby. I saw him.
A blurry naked man slithers his arms up against a tree. Gritting his teeth, he turns his face to reveal a demonic snarl and a smooth bald head. Katrina screams as the creature comes for her. In her room, she furrows her brows, nervously swallowing. She shuts her eyes for a moment before getting up. She pads down a narrow spiral staircase. Matthew spots her from the living room.
Hey.
Hey.
You okay?
I'm fine.
Are you sure?
I'm just tired. I mean, I got to bed.
Well, I got some weed in my room if you want to smoke some before you go.
I don't do that anymore. But I'd love to talk with you, though.
Matthew lifts his brows and shrugs. In her room, Gwen's eyes fixate on the words on her screen, but if this was the place, then why did she feel so afraid? She blinks, shaking her head. She highlights the entire section and deletes it. At the top of the blank white document, a black cursor bar blinks, waiting for text. Meanwhile, Matthew leads Katrina into his room. She spots a lighter and a pack of cigarettes on a coffee table.
You know, I'm not addicted like some guys. I just... Sometimes... You know, I don't know how you do it without...
It's hard. Especially tonight. Seeing you. And
Gwen and Jeff. It brings back a lot.
So, you seen anyone?
No. No. I am trying to learn how to be happy on my own.
I'm glad you had that choice.
What about you?
You know, everyone that I ask about you says the same thing. Like, I'll ask, how's Katrina doing? And they're like, oh, she's good, or she looks so happy.
I don't know about that. I'm trying really, really hard to be better, but it's not easy.
Well, you know, actually, I was seeing this girl, and she was so hot and just awesome. But it wasn't the right time, so I just broke it off.
Spencer lies asleep in bed. In a memory, his father wanders into his childhood bedroom.
Hey, bud. 7:30. Since when do you go to sleep this early?
My teacher said Santa won't come until I go to sleep.
She was lying to you. There is no Santa Claus. He's a myth that they made up to keep kids from misbehaving. Now, your mother and I will be giving you presents no matter when you go to sleep.
What about the reindeer?
Ah, Christ, these schools. Prove to me that Santa exists.
Everyone believes in it.
Well, people believe in a lot of things that aren't true. Santa doesn't exist. God doesn't exist. And the ones who believe in him are suckers and fools and are only lying to themselves. Never forget that. All right. Why don't we have a little ice cream?
Gwen nervously talks to her mother, who keeps her eyes glued to a book.
So the story is about this one family over hundreds of years and the way that each generation, you know, like screws up the next?
That's really nice, sweetie. Sounds great. I'm really excited for you. I don't know why I bother telling you anything. You don't get it. Dad would understand. So, even though it's in different time periods, it's all connected, you know?
That sounds like a fine idea, but to be honest, who has time for fiction when the government is stealing our rights as free people, our civil liberties? Gwen, you need to read this article.
I'm gonna talk about all of that, but I mean, the whole thing's very allegorical.
I'm sure it is, but let me find this article for you.
Dad, if you would just look at my notes, I mean, I would really love your feedback. It would mean the world to me. Please?
Now, Gwen stares blankly at her laptop, her eyes lost in thought. In a flash of colorful lights, Fraser comes into focus. He stretches his arms wide. He checks behind himself, gripping the edge of his tan vest as he strides toward an outdoor set of stairs. Taking slow, confident steps, he marches down a concrete path. The demon-like creature slinks its arms, hunching inward on itself. It moves back and forth at an accelerated speed. Its head twists back as its arms reach out to the side. It snarls at Katrina, whose face glows red. In Matthew's room, she covers her mouth in fear.
Kitty, hey, whoa, what is it? What is it?
Hey, what's wrong?
You're shaking. Look at me. Hey, you're fine. You're safe. It was just some wind.
She leans against his chest as he gently tips her chin toward him. A flashback shows the two in a parked car.
Are you sure?
It was my second test, so I don't want you to think I didn't. I just wanted to tell you before.
Before you what?
We can't keep it. We're not ready.
Look, we're lucky to be alive. I mean, it's happening for a reason. We can have a family together. We can be happy.
I didn't think that you would.
One second. Here we go. Look. Okay, look.
You deserve so much better than this. So, so much better than this. But I don't want to spend another minute without knowing that I'm going to be with you for the rest of my life. I love you. Will you marry me?
Matthew fastens a twist tie around her ring finger. She beams, pulling him into a hug. Now, Katrina lifts her head off his chest and creates some distance. She shyly tucks her blonde hair behind her ear. In a kitchen, Gwen takes down a plate and sets it on the counter. She opens a cabinet as her mother strolls in.
Hey, sweetie.
Mom? Is that you? Why do you look so young?
Do you want some breakfast?
My mother is beautiful. Everyone always says so.
Gwen's mother sits in a class, mindlessly twirling her ginger hair around her finger.
Everyone falls in love with her.
She saunters toward Gwen's father, who sets his work aside. In the kitchen.
You know, your father and I are going to a gala this weekend. You should see the dress I bought. It is so cute. Speaking of cute, that boy Jeff, is he coming by by any chance?
That's crazy. Are you real?
Oh, yeah. Give you a free session.
You would?
Yeah, sure. Okay,
I
my
would
pleasure.
Love that.
Back.
This is Gwen. Hey, Gwen, say hi to the next man.
Hi, hey, Gwen. Is this your sister?
Oh, come on. It's my daughter.
I believe you.
Hey.
Yeah, sure.
You're corrupt. You're wrong. You were born out of transgression, and you were tainted. You will always be tainted.
Gwen leans against the counter, her bleary eyes falling to the plate of eggs and bacon. She takes it as her mother studies her.
You look tired. What's wrong with you? Why don't you try harder? You need to apply yourself. Are you sure you're getting enough sleep, Gwen? You look really tired.
You're my mother. And yet.
Your father, I love you. I just want you to be happy. What's wrong with you?
In the present, Gwen chucks her plate to the floor, shattering it. Spencer wakes, creasing his brows. He sits up in bed and reaches for his glasses. His hand lands on the right surface, but doesn't reach far enough. He pulls himself out of bed and shuffles into the bathroom. He steps out and gets tackled to the floor.
Derek, get in here. Help me tie this guy up.
Hi, Mrs. Bales. Can I talk to Katrina, please?
No, now is not a good time.
In a memory, Katrina lies in bed. Her eyes flutter open as she listens. She pushes herself up, resting on the edge of the bed for a brief moment before getting to her feet. With her head bowed, she makes her way into the hall.
She's asking me to
tell
you no.
Oh, right.
Mom.
Yeah.
Hey.
Can we have a minute? Mom, please.
All right. I'll be right here if you need me.
Okay. Hey, what's wrong? I wanted to show you something, okay?
I miscarried.
What?
Uh-huh. Just today. And, because of that, I don't think that we should get married.
Kitty, I wasn't lying about what I said. I love you, and I want to take care of you, okay? Please don't do
this. I have to think about things. I'm sorry. I just need time. I don't think it's a good idea.
Katrina,
I'm sorry.
Please.
Katrina slams the door and presses her back against the wall, silently breaking down. Now, in Matthew's room.
I was gonna...
was gonna give you this.
He holds up an engagement ring.
I would have.
His face softens as he stares into her eyes, offering the ring. She drops her gaze, trying to keep her composure. He lets his arm fall onto his lap as she starts for the door. She leans against the entryway, her arms folded. He almost says something, but decides against it. Katrina wanders off. Elsewhere, Fraser comes into the house, curiously checking out the kitchen as he goes. Still wearing his tan vest, he strolls toward the living room, where Gwen sits alone on the couch. With misty eyes, she clutches a pillow to her chest. As he approaches, she lifts her gaze.
Hey, who are you?
I was just looking for the owners. Hi, I live nearby. My name's Fraser.
Gwen.
Hi, Gwen. It's a pleasure to meet you.
We're just staying here this weekend.
He spots the broken plate on the floor.
Rough night, huh?
Yeah, I guess I'm a bit of a klutz.
That's okay. I forgive you.
Here, let me help you.
So what brings you out here?
It's my friend Jeff's wedding.
You don't seem all that excited about it.
Well, honestly, it's a little hard to deal with.
He gently takes a broken shard from her.
Why, you, used to have a thing for him? Hey, it's okay. We've all been there. I mean, we try so hard to hold on to the things that hurt us, right? The pain, the anger, the bad experience. Why not just let that wash away so that we can be reborn?
Exactly. It's like we're all prisoners of others' choices.
Yeah.
It's kind of like this book I'm working on.
I knew you were the creative type. Tell me more about your story.
Really? No. You don't want to hear it.
Please. Tell me.
Okay. Well, it's about one family across hundreds of years and the way that each generation fucks up the next.
Right. Right. Parents damage their children. They pour all the failures and insecurities onto them. By the time we've grown up, the damage is done. I would totally read that book. Imagine if we could do it a different way. You know, what if we grew up in a collective? We're surrounded by a diversity of people and got to make our own choices. And that's basically what my friends and I are doing out here.
Yeah?
Well, I call them my friends. Really, they're more like a family. We do anything for each other. Well, I'll leave you be.
Hey.
Yeah.
You want to have a glass of wine with me?
I'd love to.
Fraser grins. In a flashback, Fraser stands in the middle of the living room with his eyes shut. His lips part with the slightest of smiles. Behind him, his followers pass the newborn between one another, each cradling the child for a moment before handing them off. A younger woman with wavy brown hair is the last to hold the child. She hesitantly carries the baby to Fraser, waiting behind him silently. He opens his eyes, satisfaction washing over his confident expression. He turns to the child, gently scooping them in his arms. Derek and a dark-haired woman watch as he lifts the wavy-haired woman's chin. She meets his gaze with wide eyes. Maya glances over at them, then lets her eyes drift across the room. Fraser keeps his focus on the child as he carries them over to Maya. She carefully supports the newborn's head as she takes them into her arms.
It has to be tonight. Everything is aligned. I need volunteers.
Eager hands shoot up into the air. The wavy-haired woman takes in the other's enthusiasm and reluctantly raises her own hand.
Alicia. Brian.
Brian hugs Fraser, a smile lighting up his face. Fraser pats the guy's chest as his eyes fall onto the woman. Her eyes stay glued to the floor, her whole body tense.
Dawn, you'll be accompanying me.
Her eyes wide with fear, Dawn steps toward the other chosen members.
He chose us? I can't believe he chose us.
Later, the dark-haired woman stares off.
This is heavy stuff, Sam. I'm gonna need you with me on this.
Derek lays Maya on a bed while Spencer gets tied up.
Get her in here now. Did you see the others?
Oh, you mean the bodies?
They chose to be here.
They didn't choose that.
Fraser told me they are a small sacrifice to get us here.
I'm gonna go into the dark. I'm gonna need you to be my light.
We have to save his brother. Then we can save them. We can save everyone.
There's no sacrifice too big to get us where we're meant to be.
Now, who the hell is this guy?
Just calm down, okay? Everything is under control. Fraser wants us to keep him contained and find out what he knows.
He told you that?
Just trust me. I think this guy's FBI.
A smartphone.
What is this thing?
I don't know. What happened out there? I mean, this is the house, but everything's different. Where are we?
Look, please, just take anything you want. I won't tell anyone, I promise. Please, don't hurt me.
Don't hurt you? Why would we hurt you?
You broke into the house.
We didn't break into the house. You broke into the house.
Sam!
Shut up!
Look, there's obviously been a mix-up, okay? Just let me get my glasses, and I will go. It's all yours.
What do you think, that I'm stupid or something? We know that you've been watching us. Fraser sees everything.
Please, just let me go.
Stop! We're not murderers. I don't even know what's happened with the two of you.
We can't trust Maya on this. It's just us.
I didn't want to do it. I like that little girl. I like
all
of them.
Shut up! I know. It wasn't your choice. It's not your fault. It's Fraser. You're so much like him. He was a scientist, too. He wanted to help people. Here.
Maya, you're still delirious. You should sit down.
No, he's here. He's gonna hurt her.
Maya, talk to me.
I don't know what to do.
Maya drops to the floor and starts convulsing.
I feel kind of bad for him, actually. He's smart, but I just can't.
You need to get your act together. What are you doing with your life?
Matthew's hurt eyes gaze off into the distance. He blinks, gets to his feet, and strides out of his room. Meanwhile, Gwen lounges back on the couch as Fraser pours her a glass of wine.
Cheers, Gwendolyn.
My dad's the only one who calls me that.
You're right. You're not a Gwendolyn. You have a different name.
Oh, yeah?
Maybe, Siren.
Ooh.
Yeah. Siren's an ancient Greek myth. A beautiful woman calls the men with a lovely song. And when they come to her, she eats them alive.
I call and they don't pick up.
What happened with this room to be, this Jeff fella?
I don't know. He's a good-looking guy. I had feelings for him for a long time, and I just kept wishing something would happen. Then one day, we were at a party.
Red and blue lights flash as Gwen grooves to the music. Jeff rocks back and forth, dancing right in front of her. They start to move as one.
Everything felt so right, and Jeff was drawn to me. The way he looked at me, I was waiting for that for so long. I never liked dancing. He usually felt so self-conscious, but in that moment, I could move. I felt free.
Off the dance floor, Gwen gives Jeff a flirtatious smile.
So we totally got abandoned.
Yeah, where did all our friends go?
I turned around and was like, boom, they're gone. Wow, did you ever shake it in there? That was wild.
Yeah, you weren't so bad yourself.
You know, I'd do it again.
I like dancing with you.
He stares at her in disbelief, taking in her words.
It's funny because I think, well, I should probably go home.
Yeah, me too.
So my car's over here. Where's yours?
Oh, just that way, you know.
Do you want me to walk you?
Oh, no, I'm cool. You go.
Okay.
See you later. Next thing I know, he's dating my friend, and I'd watch them together, all over each other. And I couldn't even be mad because I was so stupid in that one moment.
Yo, I think it's that stuck-up cunt from high school with that hot-ass mom.
Hey, girl, that sexy-ass mom here is coming to pick you up.
Shut the fuck up. Who the fuck are you? Get the fuck out of my face, you motherfuckers.
Yo, man, her mom is so fucking hot. She's kinky, too.
It's good to see you. Tell mom I said hi.
A few years later, I heard Jeff was single, and we were all supposed to go to this concert together. But he bailed at the last minute, and our friend Dave came instead. It was an accident. Dave was paralyzed. A week later, Jeff shipped off to the Caymans for med school. Katrina and Matthew broke up, and she got weird. I thought we'd be friends for life.
Fraser pats her leg.
Come on. Come dance with me.
Just not my thing.
Yeah, I used to be like that, too. Afraid to dance, afraid to ask for what I wanted. You know what I found? If you ask people the right way, they'll do anything you want. And if you think in a new way, you can do anything yourself. So maybe Gwen doesn't dance. How about Siren?
That's not my name.
She smirks, propping her head up on the edge of the couch. Outside, Katrina wanders around the house by herself. She stops in her tracks, staring at a building in front of her. Red party lights flash inside as alternate versions of Katrina and Matthew dance up a walkway. They wrap their arms around one another playfully. She pushes him against a wall, kissing him deeply. The real Katrina's eyes go wide, watching in stunned silence. The fake Katrina steps back from Matthew, hiking up her long white dress before seductively dipping her hips. Peering over her shoulder, she locks eyes with the real Katrina. Grinning, the fake Katrina runs her hands through her hair without a care in the world. The real Matthew comes up beside Katrina, his brows furrowed. His lips part as he spots their doppelgangers. The fake Katrina slides her body against Matthew's before hungrily pressing their lips together. Inside,
Siren. She's a great dancer. The best dancer.
With a sultry smile, Gwen gets to her feet.
I'm very familiar with these moves. These are the I'm scared to dance moves.
I'll show you something.
She lifts her arms above her head, then slowly lets them fall around her face as she rolls her body. Katrina and Matthew stare off at their alternate selves. The fake Katrina wraps one arm around his neck as she slides down his body, eyeing the others. Gwen lets her hips sway as she moves closer to Fraser. As they passionately make out, the fake Matthew lifts Katrina off the ground and he presses her against the wall. The real Katrina starts to turn away, but Matthew grabs her wrist.
You know, you don't have to be that old person anymore. You can redefine yourself. I'm not going to do it for you, but you'll regret it.
Gwen pulls Fraser's face toward hers, kissing him.
Okay, I want to do it again.
Outside, Katrina watches with wide eyes as their doppelgangers grind against one another. Illuminated by an eerie light, Katrina nervously approaches the demon, who hides behind a tree. It reaches its hand toward her, its long fingernails pointed dangerously sharp. She hesitates as it begins to move closer. Panicked, she backs away. She bolts off toward a bright light in the distance. In Spencer's room, Maya continues convulsing.
Maya? Maya? Talk to me.
I don't know what to do.
She's having an epileptic seizure. She needs to be sedated.
Don't trust him.
If you don't sedate her immediately, she could suffer permanent brain damage.
I'm a doctor. Let me help.
Don't try anything.
Sam removes her knife from Spencer's neck and unties him. He kneels beside Maya.
Do you have any medical supplies? Anything like a tranquilizer?
Will this work?
Is this heroin?
Just help her.
Maya, I'm gonna need you to relax for me, okay? I'm gonna need you to breathe deeply.
Thank you for doing this, man. I'm sorry she tied you up.
Spencer slowly injects the heroin, and Maya's body stills.
Is she okay?
She awakes with a vision.
The only certainty is that nothing's impossible. I can see time. Scientists weren't meant to maintain the status quo. They were meant to destroy it.
I can see the future here.
We could save the world.
I can see Bobby.
Bobby? Are you okay?
What's wrong with him?
Fraser, you were responsible for him. You should have known better. You're his big brother. You're supposed to look out for him.
I may need your help with something. It may be a little dangerous.
Anything for you.
Sam, I want you to cut her.
What?
Cut her arm. Gently, but make it bleed.
What she's doing!
Trust her. We're doing this to help you.
Ah! I see it.
Tell me what you see.
I can't. Blurry.
Sam, harder.
What are you doing?
Don't stop her. As time collapses, the boundaries between the subconscious and the conscious break down. We saw the past today.
Make her go away! Tomorrow, make her stop!
Sam! You want to just see it. We're gonna touch it. We're gonna change it. We're gonna make ripples. Take her to Maya. Tell her it was an accident. Why are you pushing yourself away from us? We love you.
Because
we want
this
you to
is
be a
not
part of this.
This is not why we came here.
You're my angel.
I don't Thank like you. It when you touch me. Don't touch me.
This is gonna work. This is gonna work. This is gonna work.
The demon bares its teeth as snippets of her and Fraser flash by. Maya pants, staring up at Spencer.
Yeah, just lay back. Calm down, it's gonna be okay.
No, no, it won't. I can see it all. Gwen, Katrina, Matthew, Spencer. He wants to kill you all.
Okay, all right, you need to get the fuck out of here. I don't know what kind of crazy drug bullshit this
no
is,
No one but... is going anywhere.
Sam, you have to face it. Fraser's dangerous. You can't trust
you?
Him.
Shut up. If what he said isn't true,
How are we here? You saw what happened. We moved in time.
Fraser leads his followers through the forest.
It's here. This is the place.
Alicia takes Dawn's hand, tugging her onward.
Energy cannot be created or destroyed. Only transformed.
Sam positions Dawn and Brian in front of Fraser. She hands the Chosen Ones a pill.
Your sacrifice is our salvation.
What is it? Just take it.
Brian briefly glances at the pill before popping it in his mouth. Dawn stares at it tentatively. Fraser gently holds her face.
Don't be afraid, Dawn. I'd never lead you astray.
Alicia starts to foam at the mouth as she drops to her knees. She struggles to breathe.
It only hurts for a moment. Remember that.
Foam slips out of Brian's mouth as Alicia falls onto her back.
It's beautiful. They're transcending.
Dawn watches in horror as they writhe on the ground. She tries to flee, but Derek stops her.
Dawn, don't abandon me when I need you the most. Come to me. Come to me.
She holds her fists against her chest as she nervously steps toward Fraser. Her clenched hand shakes.
Show me your hand.
She reluctantly opens her fist, revealing the pill inside.
I thought you trusted me. Please, we're so close, Dawn. I can save you. I can save everyone.
Dawn, get away from him now!
Look what you did. All that trusted you.
Derek holds Maya back as Dawn puts the pill in her mouth. Fraser grins, watching Dawn drop to the ground. Maya rushes to her side.
You're a murderer.
I didn't do anything. I just asked, and they answered. Just watch. It'll be worth it.
He stretches out his hands as colors begin to tremble around his body. The distorted shifting of his image appears around Dawn's still form, her energy seemingly transferring to Fraser. Maya glances around anxiously.
Time is folding. I can feel it. You're not Bobby.
The demon's bony form collides with Fraser's ritual.
This isn't where we're supposed to be. Something's gone wrong.
Foam drips down the side of Dawn's mouth as her image fades out. Now, in the living room, Gwen sits beside Fraser on the couch.
I just feel so embarrassed telling you all of this personal stuff, and I don't know anything about you.
Most people just wait for their turn to talk. I like to listen. I like to get to know more about someone than just the surface.
Well, I'd like to get to know you.
Why don't you tell me a secret?
I had a younger brother.
Had?
Polio.
Polio? Wasn't that cured like 50
years?
We'd
snuck away from my parents and went swimming in this dirty river. Everyone was doing it, but we weren't supposed to. He got worse and worse until they stuck him in an iron lung.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to bring it up.
I'd have done anything to get him out of that box. Anything. But I was powerless. And everyone blamed me for it happening. I didn't come to terms with it until years later. When I had my first trip, then I saw it.
Saw what?
Everything. I was on the outside looking in at all of time. And I saw Bobby and me walking into the river. I could almost reach out and touch it. Tell me, Siren, is there anything in your life you'd want to change?
It's not my name. My name's Gwen.
Gwen. Gwendolyn. Does that make you uncomfortable? Gwendolyn?
Told you my dad's the only one who calls me that.
Tell me what you'd change. I see it there. Tell me what it is. Tell me!
Everything. My name is Gwen. I have a family who loves me.
In an office, Gwen's mother wears lingerie as she leans against a table, getting spanked with a leather paddle.
I'm such a bad girl. Your mother doesn't care about you. She doesn't even know you're there.
As Gwen tries to talk about her novel, her mother doesn't look up.
Your father hates you. He thinks you're stupid. Don't you get that? I have friends who care about me. They don't care about you. They don't think about you. They don't even know you exist. You owe them nothing. I'm a writer. I have something to say. Don't fool yourself, Gwen. You'll never finish that book. How long have you been working on it? You'll never do it. You'll never amount to anything. Gwen can never be happy. It doesn't exist in her.
The demon briefly appears, twisting its head.
This is the moment we were scarred, and we're long past it. But what if we could fold time and change it so it never happened?
But I never exist.
You're wrong. You'd still exist, but without the scars. You'd be the person you were meant to be, not this tarnished angel.
Yeah, my dad didn't even want me to be born.
You carry the guilt inside you, just like I do. But we can change that. I can save my brother. You can save yourself.
What am I doing? I don't even know you.
No. That's the scars talking. Are you so afraid of seeing the person you were meant to be?
As Dawn skips down a path, Gwen glances at her hand.
What was in that wine?
You'll see.
Outside, a pregnant Katrina sits with Matthew.
I'm so sweaty and I'm so fat right now.
Probably the most beautiful thing ever.
How do you put up with me?
I love you more.
I love you.
Come on, let's go inside.
No, wait. This is what it would have looked like. This is how we would have been if you hadn't have miscarried. Katrina. When you lost the baby, you changed. I wish it didn't happen like that.
It didn't.
What?
I never had a miscarriage.
What are you saying?
I don't want to lie to you. I told my mom that it was my body and it was my choice and I could do it, but I want to talk to you as a friend, not as your mother. I got pregnant way too young, just like you. I got a promise from a boy that he would do the right thing, and he tried, but your father was a child. You know him. I sacrificed, and I worked so hard, and I don't regret it, but it was to give you something better. I beg you to consider whether you want one choice you make at such a young age to define the rest of your life.
Outside the house, Matthew struggles to take that in.
She was right.
No,
she wasn't.
Yes, she was. Think about it. We were so young and everything was so messed up.
You didn't have a job. You didn't graduate high school. Look, you're still dealing. Where were we going to raise the kid? Your mom's baby?
It wasn't your choice!
Gwen's mother sits in her office as Gwen strolls over.
Hey, sweetie. I found your scarf in the laundry. It's falling apart a little bit. I wanted to fix it for you. But I almost just threw it out. Gwen, I'm worried about you. And you seem so sad. All the time. I just want you to be happy. I don't know why you can't just be happy.
One more, come on, before you got it, you can do it, you can do it.
Matthew coaches Katrina through childbirth.
Oh my God, here we go. You come here acting so much better than me, and you make me feel like dirt. You don't even look at me, and you won't talk to me. Huh? Huh?
What are you doing? You're 30, you're single. You're a temp? Where did I go wrong? You're such a beautiful little girl. I just wish we could go back to the old days. You know, when I was your age.
Gwen shoves her mother in Spencer's room.
Sam, look at me. Sam. Into this for love, to help other people. Fraser's lost sight of that, but I haven't. Fraser said you would betray us. Look at you. Everything he says is true. Everything!
Look. Look at us. Look! Because that would have been us. Why won't you freaking work? Why don't you just look? Huh? Would that have been so bad? Huh? Am I so bad? Am I so freaking bad? Huh? Why did you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? You didn't give a shit. You didn't tell me. You didn't give me the chance. Guess what? This time, you don't get to choose.
That you know!
Gwen grips a pair of scissors.
What are you doing? Gwen, what are you doing? Oh, God. What are you doing? Please, no, wait. No.
Gwen presses the tip against her temple, then smiles as she jabs them.
Why are you doing this, Gwen?
Maya approaches Sam.
It's okay. It's gonna be all right.
Do it, Sam. Do it for me.
Traitor.
Sam swings her knife, but Derek pushes Maya out of the way. Sam slashes his throat. He falls against the wall, clutching his bloody neck. Outside, Matthew approaches the fake Katrina in a hospital bed.
Can we do that, babe?
She grabs his hand with a tender smile. He gently touches her face, then grips her neck, squeezing tightly. The real Katrina watches in horror as her doppelganger suffocates.
No! Please! I love you! I love you! Please!
If you really loved me, you never would have brought me into this world.
Gwen viciously stabs her mother. Sam points her knife at Spencer.
No, please don't!
She jabs him right in the gut. He clutches the wound on instinct as blood stains his white t-shirt. The alternate Katrina reaches for the real Matthew's face as he strangles her. Her head flops back against the bed. The real Katrina weeps. He slowly lifts his gaze.
I made the choice.
Gwen's mother lies limply against a bookcase, her head lolled to the side. Gwen gets off her and pushes her body forward, letting it drop against the desk. As Gwen steps away, Fraser comes up behind her and wraps his arms around her.
You sacrificed her memory. You're almost there.
He pushes her forward, forcing her to lean over the desk.
I'm going to show you a new life now. One where you are the person you were meant to be.
He spanks her with a leather paddle.
You are a siren now.
God, you are so dumb. You are so fucking stupid. Like, what is wrong with you?
I'm the only one who wants you.
I'm the only one who wants you.
I'm the only one who loves you.
I'm the only one who sees you, siren.
I'll make all the bad feelings go away.
You just have to let go.
You just have to surrender. Now tell me your name.
Gwen.
Tell me your name.
Siren.
Tell me, do you feel better? Do you feel free?
Meanwhile, Maya weeps as she strokes Derek's lifeless face. Spencer grimaces.
Maya! Maya, help!
Oh my God. Oh my God, Fraser. You're still alive.
Maya!
She crawls over to him and helps him sit up. His shirt is soaked with blood.
I need a doctor.
There are no doctors out here. You said we take care of our own. That's what you said.
I didn't say that.
You did. When Jenny's baby was sick, you said you would handle it. But the baby died.
I'm not Fraser. I don't even know who he is.
Oh my God. You're right. You're not.
Direct pressure.
What?
Direct pressure! Interior abdominal wound. As much blood loss, the odds of survival.
Maya reaches for a small black pouch and pulls something out. She slips it into Spencer's mouth, supporting his head. Outside, Sam bolts down the steps, glancing around nervously. She spots the demon wearing a tan vest as it twists and slithers its arms. He hunches over, keeping his back to her.
Fraser, is that you?
Crouching down, the demon covers its face, the hair on its head matching that of Fraser's. The demon stretches a hand behind itself, reaching for Sam. It guides her hand to its face and slowly flicks its tongue against her palm. The demon bites down on her fingers and she panics, trying to run away. It gets to its feet and chases her, never letting go of her hand. She trips. Losing the demon's hold on her, she tries to crawl away. The demon gets on top of her and angrily scratches her flesh. Fraser.
I don't relish this, but it's the only way.
Gwen takes a knife from him.
I wasn't meant to go here, Siren. I was meant to go to my brother, but the pain that you and your friends felt pulled me to you.
She grips the blade tightly, dragging her hand up the knife to draw blood.
We are meant to be together. Help me make one last sacrifice to send us where we're meant to be, so we can fix everything once and for all.
The demon snarls, craning its neck to find Katrina on the top of the steps. As it growls, she sprints toward the house.
I'm sorry.
Spencer blinks, his eyes dazed.
You have to open your mind to the possibility that you can live.
What did you give me?
Relax. It was just a little jarring the first time.
Aspirin.
Acid.
Maya reaches back into the pouch and takes some of the acid herself. She grips Spencer's hand. Blurry lights slowly come into focus. In a car, Spencer drives with Maya in the back. His wounded body rests in the passenger seat.
Stab wound to the abdomen. That much blood loss, odds of survival are negligible.
Spencer, I can help you. You just have to trust me.
Best hope. He's paralyzed for life. Worst, he dies.
Spencer, trust me. I can help.
What's to help? That's just the drugs talking. You're not real.
Everything is real. I can save you here or you can die here. There is more to life than what you see with your eyes.
Meanwhile, Katrina sits alone in the corner of her room, her arms resting atop her knees. Her eyes dart around, listening. She ducks her head, covering her face. Gwen wanders into Spencer's room, where she finds him lying asleep next to Maya.
Do it now, Siren. He's a small sacrifice to save so much. Do it, Siren.
Do it, Siren. Do it for me.
The demon wears a floral robe, creeping backwards toward Katrina. It reaches out its bony hands before twisting around, lunging at her. She rolls out of the way, crawling toward the door.
Help! Please help me!
Fraser watches as the demon looms over her, its menacing smile inching closer. She fearfully keeps her head bowed with her hand over her face, avoiding his gaze. The demon grips her wrists, shaking them. It smacks her. Standing upright, the demon spots Fraser. Its eyes go wide as excitement washes over it. Fraser's breath quickens, backing out of the room. Gwen loosely holds her knife, sliding atop Spencer.
Listen to it.
Clutching the handle, she hovers over his unconscious face. She leans down, almost touching her nose to his.
Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it.
Her focus shifts to her cell phone. Outside, Matthew breaks down. He throws out his fist and kicks at the air. Dave appears beside him.
Hey man, you've got to chill. Shit with Katrina's messed up. Nobody's denying it, but what, do you want to be 70 and still pissed off that some girl lied to you way back when?
Matthew struggles for words.
What are you doing? Thought I was the one who got paralyzed.
Frowning, Matthew darts off with a determined expression. Dave watches him go. Matthew slows his stride as he spots Sam lying face down in the dirt, her entire back covered in blood. Rattled, he staggers back before dashing up the steps. Katrina stares at her hands.
Kitty!
Matthew stops as the demon holds out its hand, reaching for him. It creeps closer to him, its shoulders dramatically rising and falling with each breath. In one swift motion, it pushes Matthew against a wall and starts to choke him. Katrina's eyes remain fixated on her hands.
Help me.
She covers her face as a memory slowly fades in.
I really wanna...
just don't think it's a good idea. I need time. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Please.
She slams the door in Matthew's face, resting a hand on her floral robe. He stands outside, waiting. Katrina considers for a moment, then yanks open the door. He meets her gaze.
Matthew, I never should have lied to you. I was so scared. And I'm so, so sorry. Matthew? Matthew!
The memory Matthew grabs his throat as the present Matthew struggles against the demon's tight grasp. He claws at its hand as Katrina slowly raises her head. The demon lifts Matthew off the floor. The demon lets go and Matthew drops to the floor. Fixing its gaze on Katrina, the demon bares its teeth. She keeps a determined expression as she steps toward the creature. They stare each other down, the demon slithering its shoulders.
I'm not afraid of you.
It snarls, getting in her face. She doesn't flinch and instead keeps her steady gaze locked onto the demon's. It moves spastically, taunting her. Katrina stands her ground, refusing to be intimidated by the demon's actions. In one final attempt, it rises up, lifting its arms outwards. Matthew bashes it over the head with a bottle. He staggers, holds up the busted wine bottle, and drops to the floor. Gwen hovers over Spencer's body, but her attention gets torn away by the buzzing phone. She answers it.
Hey, sweetie. Hello? Hello, Gwen? Gwen, can you hear me?
She did or not?
I don't know. Honey, can you hear me? Gwen?
Gwen rises and wanders over to a mirror.
Gwen? Sweetie? Can you hear me? Are you okay?
Hi.
Oh, there you are. I guess it's bad reception in the country. How are you doing?
Okay.
Listen, I just wanted to call and see how the weekend's going. Are you having fun?
Yeah.
Oh, Dad wanted to talk to you for a second. Let me put him on.
Gwendolyn, you remember Jane, Michael's friend who's the literary agent?
Yeah.
She said she'll take a look at your book when it's ready. I don't know if there's going to be a publishing industry then, but it's worth a shot.
Well, we won't take up all your time. Have fun at the wedding. Tell Jeff congratulations for me.
I will.
Love you. Bye.
Memories of her parents and the events of the night flash through Gwen's mind. She presses her phone against her neck, emotion taking over her. An image of an angel appears, its face covered by a dark shadow. Gwen meets her reflection's gaze, a soft smile spreading across her lips. She takes a step closer as her hand slides down to her heart. She tucks a piece of hair aside and nods to herself. Meanwhile, in the midst of their acid trip, Spencer continues to drive with Maya behind him.
Spencer, you can choose!
Shut up! You're high! You're not real!
You don't have to die!
I'm sorry. There was nothing we could do. The blood loss was just...
She's right. Anything can happen.
No! No, this isn't! I don't want to go!
Don't! Spencer, look out!
In a flash, Spencer is about to crash with Dave, Gwen, Katrina and Matthew on the night of the accident. He slams on his brakes, stopping just in front of Santa. Now alone in the car, Spencer steps out, staring at him in disbelief. He tentatively wanders closer, eyeing the bearded man in the red suit.
My father said you don't exist.
Well, perhaps your father doesn't know everything. Now, you need to keep your eye on the road, young man. What is all the rush for?
Sorry, Santa.
Now, have you been a good boy this year? Because looking at your eyes, you seem to be tripping balls. Well, that's okay. I'm glad you're here, because I have a present for you. The present is the future. Merry Christmas.
Santa marches off, carrying a sack of presents. Spencer weakly waves. He opens the box and a burst of light surrounds him. He peeks through a curtain and sees himself sitting beside Dave in his wheelchair.
I'll get you out of there. I promise.
To the impossible.
Spencer wears surgical scrubs. Gwen smiles to herself.
Sorry.
Fraser makes his way toward Gwen and picks up the clean knife. He kneels in front of her.
What are you doing?
That's not my name.
Don't say something we both know is a lie.
I won't hurt my friends for you.
Friends? Where were they when you needed them? When you were so alone? I was there. I was there for you, Siren. And you promised to help me, to save my brother.
Your brother died, it sucks, but killing people won't bring him back.
I didn't kill anyone. They believed in what I was doing. I thought you did too.
He strokes her cheek and she flinches back.
Whoa! Hey! Do you remember what you were like when we first met? You hated yourself. You were pathetic. Look at you now. I made you whole. I saved you, Siren.
My name is Gwen. It's short for Gwendolyn, and I want you to leave!
She shoves his chest, pushing him out of the room. Creasing his brows, he marches back in and drags her out. She falls to the ground, her eyes wide with fear.
It's okay, Siren. This will fix everything.
The demon slowly creeps up behind Fraser, its face only partially visible from the flickering firelight. The demon opens its mouth wide, showing off its teeth. Fraser bolts off, trying to flee, but Katrina and Matthew block his path. Gwen gets to her feet as Fraser rushes to her, looking at her with pleading eyes. She shoves him away, pushing him into the demon's waiting arms. Katrina reaches out to Gwen and hugs her close. Fraser tentatively meets the demon's gaze.
You're not Bobby.
But I am. Your brother!
Fraser slowly lifts the knife, then jabs it into the demon's gut. Gwen squeezes her eyes shut, hiding her face and Katrina's shoulder. As Fraser removes the knife, his own stomach begins to bleed. Maya approaches, and the demon slowly extends its fingers toward her.
Maya. Yes.
She shakes her head, striding right past it. She kneels at Fraser's side.
You didn't abandon me.
You did some really bad things.
Everything's so messed up.
We'll find a way to fix it.
He points the knife to himself before rising to face the demon.
One last sacrifice to send us home.
He grits his teeth and stares down the demon. The twitching creature stretches out its arms, inviting Fraser to make his move. With a powerful swing, Fraser stabs the demon in the chest. The three friends watch as a flood of energy bursts between the two. Maya's hair blows back from the force. She reaches out to him as the energy makes him thrash in agony. Light shines behind the silhouetted angel, who holds out their arms.
If I could save you, I could save everyone. I didn't used to be like this.
The light brightens, revealing the angel's face. It's Maya. Fraser smiles, going toward her as the room fades to white. Later, the house sits quietly in the forest as the break of dawn begins to lighten the sky. In his room, Spencer jolts awake, his glasses resting on his face. He furrows his brows, confused.
Spencer! We gotta get you to the hospital!
I'm okay. I know it doesn't look like it, but I'm okay.
What happened?
I don't know. But I can see. I can see everything.
He takes off his glasses, smiling at Katrina. At the wedding, Abby leans down and kisses her new husband, Jeff. Spencer, Gwen, Katrina, and Matthew cheer with bright smiles. Dave sits in his wheelchair, his expression blank. Spencer pats his shoulder and leans down as if to whisper in his ear. At a hospital, Spencer fits an MRI scan onto a wall hanging light. At a bookshop, Gwen signs a copy of her book.
I really want to be a writer. Do you have any, like, advice?
Don't ever let anyone say your story isn't worth telling. You have a voice that needs to be heard. Let us hear it. Good luck.
Hi! You did it!
Oh my God.
Look at this!
No, I'm not gonna look.
It's hey, funny. How are you?
Thank you.
Paying customer up next.
Mom, I told you I'd give you the book for free.
We're so proud of you, Gwen.
Thank you.
I don't usually read sci-fi, but I am very excited about reading your book, Gwendolyn. One for me, and one for the university.
Matthew has his arm wrapped around a pregnant woman as he shakes Spencer's hand.
Yeah, that's so good. Good to see you. You remember Spencer?
Yes, good to see you. Thank you. Yes, sorry, getting close.
Come in, man.
I'd love to.
Watch your step on the chair.
A nurse slips a surgical glove onto Spencer's hand. Outside, Katrina and Spencer do yoga together.
I was really unfair to you before. I thought I had it all figured out.
And you changed a lot. We all have. For the better.
In the OR, Dave lies on an operating table, his eyes open.
There's still one thing left to do.
What?
The impossible.
Spencer rests one hand on Dave's head as he lowers a scalpel to Dave's forehead with the other. Now, in a hospital room, Matthew, Katrina, and Gwen wait anxiously. Spencer strolls in, still in his scrubs. The friends smile at him. They turn their focus back to the bed, where Dave lies asleep, bandages wrapping around his head. He briefly squeezes his eyes tight before opening them. A neon title slowly fades in over black, House of Demons. Credits. Written and directed by Patrick Meany. Caitlin Borgen, Morgan Peter Brown, Dove Mayer, Whitney Moore, Tiffany Smith, Jeff Torres, and Amber Benson. Chloe Dijkstra, Paradox Pollock, Brian Towns, Jeff Berg, Alexia Dox, and Taliesin Jaffe. Produced by Patrick Meany, Jordan Rennert, Jordan Byrne, and Brian Towns. Associate producers Amber Benson, Paul Kim, and Amanda Sonnenschein. Executive producers Tom Blair, Michael Parnas, William Robert Webb III, Harry Smith, Hillary Jones, Don Hale, Jonathan Platt, Maury Levovitz, and Jonathan McHugh. Cinematography by Jordan Rennert. Music by Field Observations. Production designer Lenora Jane. First assistant director Brian Towns. Special makeup effects by Michael Deitz. Gaffer Raul Cotto Baters. Sound recordist Ben Sortino. Re-recording mixer Herwig Maurer. Art department coordinator Mel Huffman. Wardrobe supervisor Hannah Barnes. Presented by Respect Films and Don't Tell Danny Productions. More credits roll. Copyright 2017 Respect Films, LLC. A logo, SAG-AFTRA. A quote fades in, time doesn't heal our wounds. It numbs them. Outside time, those wounds still bleed, and all our demons wait for us. Gwen Garson, House of Demons. Logos, Don't Tell Danny Productions, J2 Films, and Respect Films.